فاتحة. السلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين سيما بقية الله في الأرض ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من العام إلى يوم الدين. صلوا على محمد وعلى محمد. أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتاب المبين: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. قل يا سيد الصلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
For a couple of days we are discussing this main issue, whether religion is a burden or not. And we check with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He mentioned in the beginning of his nahzat, in the beginning of his da'wah, he said, "Qul la ilaha illallah tuflihu." That if you say La ilaha illallah, the result is that you will be prosperous, you will get falah, you will be sa'adatman. And we said this La ilaha illallah in reality is the actual religion. So we said that the religion means having a Lord. Over here, all it says, the Lord is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the automatic result of having a Lord, that you have to follow Him. Then we move to the next step. We say, fine, we understand religion is not a burden, but at least it's difficult. We went back to the engineering manual, we found Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. That I have not imposed any duty on any soul. In a technical term, both nafs and the work is nakra, is like any duty on any soul. There is no exception. No exception from Adam to the Day of Judgment. I have not created a single soul, and then I have not imposed any duty which this soul cannot bear, cannot take care of it. So Allah said, anytime I give anything, any responsibility, that according to its abilities. So there is a circle of abilities. Whatever Allah will give, it's according to the wus'at of this circle, not more than that. But then when we look around, we saw that this idea is so strong from one corner to other corner. When we talk with Mominin, they say, Maulana, it's hard. Believe me, it's hard. We talk with the youth, they say, religion is hard. What you talking about? We understand, we as a Mominin understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it's not hard, it's according to our abilities. We believe that, but there is something wrong. And then we decided that we have to analyze it further. There, we said there are the three reasons we got this misconception. One of them is the work of Shaitan. Shaitan, one of the work is that he does make look like that our circle is smaller than the actual circle. He said, no, this task is very hard, you can do that. You are sleeping, you want to wake up and pray. He says, look, you are very sleepy, keep sleeping, it's very hard to wake up. So you make that circle look like it's smaller than the original size. The second reason is that the life, we think, at least some people think, the life is easier. And then we compare the religion with the life. See, we never complain when we go to school every day, 6 hours a day, 5 days a week. This is harder compared to like 5 minutes namaz. But we say, no, it's harder. Then he said, and he went through and says, in reality, life is tough. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. But life is tough. In fact, in reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made these ibadat, made this religion to help life. Then the third reason why we have this misconception, that we do not realize the real value of Islam, religion. And I gave you an example. If you go to Costco somewhere else and you want to buy something, if in your mind this is too expensive, you normally do not buy that. Now if you don't see a value, you don't do that. So then we see that the youth says, Maulana, we do pray, but we do not see any benefit. We don't see any difference. So that's 2 minutes, it's really, really hard. 5 minutes is really hard. Then we said, alright, let's go. And they, at this time they ask, what's the benefit of religion? Now let's find out the real value, so we can understand that whether that's performing that should be easier or hard. So pay attention with me today. Today we want to resolve several issues. One of the issues we are going to resolve is, what's the benefit of religion? Then we will go, there's a long list of objectives we have today. Then we will find out what's Rububiyat. We will find out we will discuss with the goal of human being again. Then we will find out the process of getting Rububiyat. Then, so many times that we do, we ask, we pray for, what's the intention, what's the niyah we do? We say, qurbatan ilallah. We find out, what's this qurbat mean? What this nearness mean? What the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mean in reality? Then we will find out, what's the huzur-e-qalb? He says, perform ibadat with huzur-e-qalb. We'll find out. Then there is another objection. Maulana, why we have to pray several times in a day? We'll find out all these questions today, inshallah. If you will be attentive with me, please recite a salawat. So yesterday, we reached to this point where we said that Fuzail, one of the Arif, who was robber before, his life changed by this ayah, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitani Rajeem. He heard that, he was climbing on a wall, and all of a sudden someone reciting in a very good tone this ayah, and he heard that his life changed, he became an Arif. أَلَمْ يَعْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْ تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبَهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Is the time has not arrived that your heart can be become soft with the zikr of Khuda? He became an Arif. It's a long story, we did discuss this yesterday. He came to Imam Jafar Sadiq. And he asked this question on our behalf from Imam Jafar Sadiq. He said, Mawla, what's the benefit of religion? And Mawla over there, this is in Kitab Masahib al-Sharifa, and over there, Imam Jafar Sadiq said, Al-Abudiyatu Jawharatun Kunhuha Al-Rabubiyya. Imam gave a whole secret here. Now we need to discover this secret. Imam said, Al-Abudiyatu Jawharatun. You know, Jawhar of everything, the nucleus of everything. Everything has a root. That's the reality of this thing. In atom, everything is nucleus. The weight of the atom is because of the nucleus. The electron, they don't have that much mass or anything. Everything is because of the nucleus. Imam saying, Abudiyat, the nucleus, the jawhar of the Abudiyat is, and then Imam said, wait, Kulhuha, the essence of that Abudiyat. Meaning, you get everything out of it, the essence, what the essence will come out? Imam said, Ar-Rabubiyya. You get Rabubiyya. Now today we will discuss, first we will find out what's the meaning of Rabubiyya. Then we will move forward. And then we will find out how this, we will go and go through each and step, how this Abudiyya is changing, giving us Rabubiyya. We'll see. First we need to find out what's the meaning of Rabubiyat. We know meaning of Rab. Anybody will help us here? What's the meaning of Rab? Lord. So Rabubiyat means Lordship. Right? Rabubiyat means Lordship. Now what's the Lordship mean? We look in the dictionary and they say rule. One of the meaning is rule. That you have a rule over something. Or the other one is supreme power. There is a territory, there is someone has a supreme power, he says he has a Rabubiyat. Someone is ruling over here. So Allah, Imam Jafar Sadiq said, if you do Abudiyat, same thing, like what we pray every day, fasting, going for Hajj, Zakat, Khums, Hukuk Walidain, taking care of Mu'mineen, coming in Majalis, crying for Imam Hussain, all those things will give you one thing, rule, you will be a ruler, you will have a supreme power, you will get Rabubiyat. Now, whenever it says you will rule, I says then always it has a two sides. There is a ruler and the people on whom he rule. So, Maulana, what's the meaning? Ya Maula, what's the meaning of that? Is that meaning a person after praying, he is becoming a ruler? He's ruling on other people? No, he's not ruling on other people. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that. There is a danger that people will think. That's why every day and every namaz you say, Rabbul Alameen. Allah is the one who is Rabbul Alameen. He, the Lord of people, the Lord of the people is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or the one we appoint. So definitely it's not on people. Then what? Imam said, العبودیت جوہرت کن, the reality of the عبودیت کن ہوہا, the essence of عبودیت is ربوبیت. When you do this thing, you get this thing. This is input, this is output. So I go pray, I go fast, I should get ربوبیت. I need to rule. See, it's, we were saying it's hard. And we are over here in the world, if someone, I will tell to someone that you will get rule over like this Seattle, how much effort they will do? They will spend all their efforts and life to achieve that maqam. And here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all you have to do, just wake up in the Fajr, in the Zuhr Asr, and just 4 minutes, pray, and I'll give you rule. Go fast, I will give you rule. Okay, what that rule is? What's the other side? Okay, one side we understand. After praying, I will become a ruler. To whom I'm going to rule? Who is my ria? Who is my people? On which powers are there to whom I have to rule? Let's go back to design. Very first day of our conversation when we started this discussion. Please recite the salawat. So there is only two things. It's in Arabic they say it's taqsim al-thunai. Like if you either you have to rule on the people or not. If you're not ruling on the people, then you're ruling on yourself. So the rule on yourself. That tell us that we are a compound entity. We have multiple powers. We have multiple forces. We have multiple personalities. We have multiple dimensions. And one dimension has to rule over other dimensions. That's what we understand. Let's go back to the design. Please recite the salawat. Recite another salawat, please. Now we discussed previously. I'm just going to give you like a little bit glimpse from the previous discussion. We said that when we talk about the design of a human being, see our discussion is we are trying to find out the solution based on the human design. We went through the ayats of Quran and it says the human design is such that when this nutfa get in the womb of mother, the first soul will come, we call it a vegetative soul. Then the next level was an animalistic soul. And then the next one, we said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, نَفَقْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ. I breathed him my soul. He said, I breathed him my soul. And there we analyze the word ruhi. We analyze the word ruhi. We got the conclusion over there that ruhi mean, that ruhi over here is ya is Allah, yani ruh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There we said, is it possible? The human can get the ruh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No, it's not possible. Allah is Rabb. Allah is Khaliq. This is Makhluq. He is an unlimited being. This is a limited being. How the limited being get connected with unlimited? There is no connection. He says, no, that first option is wrong. Then the second one, he said, okay, the second one is that you get, he is the owner of this soul. He says, that's also wrong. Because in Quran, Allah owns everything. Allah, not only rule, he also owns the body. So the third thing left, and we said, the third thing is that there are, like, and I gave you an example about the apple seed and the apple tree. Apple seed, this apple tree can easily claim that this is my seed. This is my seed. Why? Because apples, I would say,
there is no comparable. This is style of fear. You are such a huge tree. He says, no, listen, understand. There is a discussion of capabilities and functionality. This seed has a capability to tomorrow it can become an apple tree. So this one has the quwwa, an istidad, a capability that it can become an apple tree. That's why I'm calling it my seed. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling the human that ruhi. And then we went to the hadith of Qudsi where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly said, Ey abd, O my abd, do my ibadat and I will make you like myself. I will make you myself. So from there, I'm going to, because it's a repetition, I'm going to go and shorten that. Now, in the end, we conclude that human has this three forces. This human soul you are seeing is the human soul. It's nafakhtu. This is the one. That's who he is, this man. This human soul has a capability that it can acquire the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And see, the arrows, all these other forces, they are supposed to serve this soul. And we explain that we have a journey to move, and Allah gave us a vehicle to go from this point to the last point. So now we see the human, we conclude, we said the human has three forces, and all these three forces are there to help the human soul. What the force of attraction will do? What's the force of repulsion will do? And what's the force of imagination will do? We'll see that. Please recite the salawat. See the function of force of attraction. Can you move to the next slide? The function of the force of attraction, it called in Arabic Kuwe Shahwaniye. The force of attracts, it attracts things towards it. Anything which is needed to survive this soul and help us to move from this world to the next world, he needs force of attraction. Force of attraction, anytime you have like, you feel thirst, it's basically force of attraction. Anytime you have this hunger, that's a force of attraction. Anytime you have to save your race, that's force of attraction. You need to have be kareem, because you are living in a society. You need money for that. You need some resources in order to live a respectful life. You need to stay somewhere. You have to save this body from cold and hot. You need a property, you need some house or something. Then you need, because the human soul by default need to live in with the human. It need to have some identification. People has to identify him. See, the animal, they don't have this need. That's why they don't say, this is animal, this animal name is X, this Y, this is Z, this is Z. No. They don't need this thing. We need identification. That's why what we do, we say Zaid, Bakr, Ali, Hassan, Hussein, Taqi, Laqi. We need identification. We need to stir the people. And the human societies are developed so that they're in this society, which is the ideal society Allah has created, that there are tabaqa, there are layers. All of these people, based on their effort, they will go into the different layers. And then some of them are working for one thing, the other ones are working for something else. So this whole human society can work. All of these things will get by force of attraction. Force of attraction is for this. Then you need a security. Someone who can protect. So what you do, Allah give you Kuwe Ghazabiye, force of repulsion. It will save you. It should save you to achieve. If there are robbers, like for example, sometime the the shaitan will come and try to astray you, you will feel angry on shaitan. Try to protect him. That's why Allah gave this world. If there is like something which is harmful, because Allah knows you are living in this universe. In this universe, there are so many conflicts. Allah has created several creations here. Like the snake, man, other people. Because for the beauty of this world, they have to do their work. But when they close in the proximity, they may come across with an accident. There, this force of repulsion will help you to survive. So that's why Allah gives you force of repulsion. Then Allah gives you a planner. Force of imagination. That's the one all the invention happened from the first day to now. It's basically based on that planner. He's the one who planned. He said, I'm going to plan. Give me an input, I will plan. I will make this idea. Okay, 7:30, I will start this. 7:35, we will do this. We will turn off this projector. We will show this. This is all planning. Planner is doing it. That's what create, that's called in Arabic, ibtikar. Invention started from there. Inshallah tomorrow I will tell you the process of input and output. The way input come through input devices, and there is someone who sit down and make processing all these things. That can also create the dream. Then, that's also, planner is also a think tank. Now this is the job, and now you have four forces. Let's go back to the previous slide, let's see. The previous one, the over here. So now this force of attraction is supposed to serve human soul. The force of repulsion need to serve human soul. Force of imagination need to serve human soul. See, in this body, in this human, there are four teams. One of them, actually there is one soul and there are three teams. One of them has to lead. One of them has to be rub, has to be manager. He is to lead. Now who is going to lead? That's the fight. Now by design, to whom has to lead? Allah, if for example, if it's a design for you, Allah says, okay fine, let's see who is going to lead. Maybe force of attraction is going to lead. Maybe force of repulsion is going to lead. Maybe force of imagination. This planning to you. Like imagine. Let's imagine for us. Just because all of you are like, it's an educated community. Like if there is a company, they have a manager, they have a goal, and they say, okay, let's have a procurement team which acquire things. There need to be a security in the company, and there is also the planners. So there are different teams over there. They need a leader. So achieve the goal. They cannot achieve the goal without leader. And then, so who is the most suitable to lead? We'll see what the goal is. That's the best thing. Because every time you appoint someone, because based on the goal. And later on we'll see if you're not agree with the goal, you can change the manager. Now the goal, what is the goal is? This Ruhi I mentioned last time is going to resolve so many problems. Ruhi said that this one has a capability to become like this. This Ruhi, the soul of mine, which means he has, this soul has a capability that it's going through a journey, like a seed is going through a journey with a process and become an apple tree. This one, the soul will keep going through this process and become get at my attributes. That's why I said that was the meaning of Yadullah, Ainullah, Wajullah, that Amirul Mu'mineen reached to that status through Abubiyat, that Allah called him, Prophet Muhammad called him Wajullah. That was not like a joke. This was not like a mubalaghe. It was not like we are exaggerating, like the Wahhabis sometimes, the Shia brothers, they exaggerate. No, we are not doing this. In reality, that's happening. That soul, the capabilities turn into functionality. Right now he is Wajhullah. Right now he is Ahlullah. Right now he is Yadullah. Spin it inside a salawat. So the soul need to get, the spirit need to get power to get somewhere. And that shows that the leadership position is for the human soul. He is the one, he's going to order. He's going to order to hand go work. He's going to order the body to do something and serve me. He has to order the planner, plan and make a slide. Do this part. He is the one supposed to order in order to get this goal and reach to the destination. But then what's happened? Let's see what happened. As a Rabb, his job is to also take care of these forces. For example, force of attraction, he has to feed them. He ordered to do this part, but then he said, also I'm going to feed you. Imagination, I will give you input data. But then what's happened? What's happened? Let's see, I'll give you an example, simple example, so you can understand. Sometimes, like a father has a responsibility, he's a Rabb. See, this is the best example for us. Father has a rabbiyat over his child. But then Allah said that this child is supposed to help you when needed. But then before that, you have to feed him, you have to protect him, you have to give him a cloth, you have to do something for him, you have to take care of this child. The father start doing it. Father feed him, father provide the food, father provide the drinks, father provide the dress, father provide the house for him. He does all this thing, right? He is doing love. But then sometime what's happened? This child become spoiled. He's become spoiled. Now he's demanding, Dad, buy this for me. Dad, buy this for me. Dad, do this for me. Dad, do this for me. What's happened? Rabbiyat change. Rabbiyat moved from father to child. Child is sitting there and say, Dad, do that. Now, child supposed to, when it become adult, he's supposed to serve the father, not father is serving him. Rabbiyat change. See, now you're understanding. The Imam is taking you over there. Imam say, Rabbiyat johratin kunhuha ar-rabubiyya. Abubiyat will give you this rabubiyat back. This lordship will be taken from him and give it to you. How? We want to discuss that. I promise we'll discuss this. Please recite the salawat. The human soul, the characteristic, I said that I discussed the force. So, I discussed what's the work of force of attraction, repulsion, imagination, human soul. Human soul has a different characteristic. By default, it has mercy. It loves mercy. It has this, all this like khushu, khuzu, love. All these are the characteristics of human soul. Now what's happened? That like a child, this, you basically, you start feeding your force of attraction. Like for example, you are supposed to take care of your stomach. You are supposed to take care of your thirst. You are supposed to take care of this body. Now, what's happened? This force of attraction loves the food. Oh my God, I love the food. He says, come on, that is spoiled. Serve me. This man, now this soul, is working hard just to serve the stomach. Go, spend like 3 hours in a kitchen, go and again eat, just like for the taste, so I can be satisfied. That's one of the force. Start controlling, making you work. Then please recite the salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Recite another salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You are supposed to clean this body. You have to take care of this body. Then he says, no. Body says, no. I need now more decorations. I have to make this ziba beautiful and beautiful. I want to do this part. Just to serve me. How much time sometimes the ladies, they spend time serving, that pains the human soul is serving them. Okay, there is a requirement for, like, ladies, they have to do more because it's hadith, but they look nice for their husband. Like, but I see these days the men, they're spending hours to serve this body. Then we said that one of the job of the force of attraction is to have, like, the resources. So now this source of attraction is saying, collect money, keep collecting, do work. Now the soul is working 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, keep working. Force of attraction is saying, keep collecting. You have this house, no, I need a bigger house. Do you have this car? No, I need a bigger, better car. Get better car. I have this status. No, in the community, I need to be there. I need to have a higher status. I need this. See, the danger of this serving is, see, you understand one part. When this human soul supposed to serve these things a little bit, any force, or each of these forces, if they become strong, they will become rebellious. Like force of repulsion. Force of repulsion is like a security team. You serve the security team, and you become strong and strong and strong. And like, you know, in some of the countries, especially the people from Pakistan, they know, if the army becoming strong and strong and strong, when there's the sense, we want to take over the government. We are the one who are going to rule. Because your job was only to protect the government, the country. Now you're ruling over the government. Now this Khul-e-Ghazabiyya, which is supposed to just repel, is controlling the body. And not only it's demanding, do this for me. And not only that, it's trying to control the other people. So this, because the security force in this building, in this company, becoming rebellious, they are now becoming thieves. They are just bothering the other people who are passing by this company. This soul is a slave. Slave of this security team. Then force of imagination was supposed to have a planner, get input from you and then plan it. Now this becomes strong. They're saying, I'm going to keep planning. You have to serve me. Just sit down and I'm planning. I'm gonna do all these plans of deceiving people. And all, how can I do this thing? How can I, this is like, this guy has some problem. How I'm going to do it so people can buy it? So all these forces, so these arrows move back. Now let me give you one example so you understand. This human soul, since he chooses to go to Hussein, also know that I have to pay. But the control is in the hand of the force of attraction. The time of Dhuhr come, this human soul says, let me go pray. And there is a sound, is a little bit, can I pray? He says, no. He says, come on. He says, didn't you smell that pizza? It's a pizza time. Just stay here. Okay, fine, go fast. Now he's going and praying, Allahu Akbar. Come on, pizza time, it's a nice smell of pizza is coming. See, this soul, the force of attraction is calling, come on. And it's so strong. So he's just, finish, says, gosh, it was so hard. His namaz was so hard, it was so difficult. Why did Allah do this for me? Why? Because there was a pressure. The human soul wanted to do it, but there is a master saying, come on, come on, come on guy, come on. The same thing, there is other force of attraction is sleeping. Force of attraction is saying, keep sleeping, keep sleeping. It's fun. Look at the bed, so soft, it's warm. Now you have to go outside, cold, you have to be with you. Okay, fine. He says, no, please, I heard that it's difficult. I heard there's an akhirah, there's a jahannam. Okay, go fast, go fast. He says, wake up, where is wadu? I'm chalti. My dad is watching. Now, and he's doing it. And over there, come on, come back. I'm tired, come on, let's go sleep. He goes to finish Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. So just over there, sleep over there, have a battle. Come on, master, I'm back. Master, come on, you listen to me, man. You are a good boy. The soul, what it's doing, it's serving. It's serving, serving, serving. Who's the Rabb? Who's the Rabb? Force of attraction. Who's the Rabb? Force of repulsion. And again, they don't even just take care of your soul. They also take control of repulsion. Whenever this force of attraction becomes strong, it also controls force of repulsion. Look. Look. I have these four pieces of pizza. This other guy is eating all of it. Well, that's mine. Immediately the ghazab will come. Use force of attraction. Security, come here. Let's get this piece of slice of pizza. Force of attraction is telling ghazab, good dude. Security team, come over here. Get me a pizza. And then force of attraction is also because the money has to collect. Planner. We do work something, go do something, so I can get this. Now he's planning. Alright chief, I'm going to do it, just 1 minute, let me make a plan, how to deceive people. Get it, somehow I need millionaire, I need to become a millionaire overnight, come on. I need to buy a big house. I have to be popular. No, I am now in a board member, and this other guy is not listening to me. Let me do something, let me take care of this. Planner, do something. Alright, let me do Weber. I will just make him put down in the other people's eyes. Let me do Stormer. Why? Because I need to get a status. I want to become popular in everybody's eyes. That's the problem. Please recite the Salawat. You can turn off this if you want. Please recite another
salah.
Alright, so what we do? How this poor guy get the control back? We turn back our face towards Imam. Imam said, Al-Abubiyyatu Jawharatun Kun Hoha Al-Rabubiyyah. You will get the Rabubiyyat through Abudiyat. See, the thing they were saying, it's hard. It's the actual one will help you to get this control back, that lordship back. How? How, Maulana? There are so many people came, they said, yeah, it's going to happen. Prove us. How this abubia, how this namaz is going to help us. Yeah, we heard that. Didn't you hear that designer said, Istaeen bis sabr wa salah, get help from sabr and salat. Yeah, Maulana, I understand about the sabr, I don't understand salat. Come on, there is another call. As-salatu tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. Yeah, understand. Okay, I don't understand. How? Salat? Salat will prevent it. Salat will stand here and prevent me from fahshai and munkar. How? For God's sake, explain me. How? Please recite the salawat. Please recite the salawat. So first we understand what is Abudiyat. See, every time you have to say this Abudiyat is going to give us something. What is Abudiyat? Abudiyat, we said worship. Simple. Not a rocket science. Abudiyat, worship. What you mean? Namaz. What's Abudiyat mean? Namaz. Right? Come on guys. It's easy. Namaz.
fasting, right? Hajj, zakat, all of these are examples of obedience and skill. Yeah? Please recite a salawat for this.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
What's the soul of the worship? The soul of the worship is remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we know? Let's see. Aqimus salah li dhikra. Do salat for my zikr. Well, the same, so over there, as salatu tanha lil fahsha'i wal munkar li dhikrillahi akbar. And the remembrance of Allah is great. So we know all these ibadat, they are turning towards remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh, what's the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What's this remembrance going to do with us? What is the remembrance? Anyone? Guys, help me. Remembrance. It's an English word. Come on, yes. To remember someone. In this case, to whom we need to remember? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me ask you, very frank, I told you that we have a frank discussion here. Is remembering someone, is it going to help us? Will it give us rububiyat? Honestly, just think about it. Is it going to happen? So what that remembrance mean? Let's say, when you pray, right? Every day, when we start the prayer, the first thing we do? Anyone? Niyya. Here's our salawat for it.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali
Muhammad. What do we do in niyya? What do you say? What's in your heart? Qurbatan ilallah. Qurbatan ilallah. Qurbatan ilallah. Please have a salawat for it.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Now someone else. Translate Qurbatan ilallah. What that mean? English. Qurbat. What is Qurbat mean? Nearness. Right? Nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So you are praying namaz for nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alright guys, I have a problem here. Stop it here. Nearness. Nearness. Alright, is another thing. Please recite the salawat. I'm going to bring this up. But didn't Allah said, نَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْبَرِيدِ. We are closer to your shahrag. What that called? Jabir. We are closer to your. He's already here. Closer to this. See? Can we have anything closer than Jabir? Now we are saying we are praying for nearness of Allah. Gosh. What that mean? He is already close. Okay, is it possible? This pen, I'm close to this pen, but this pen is not close to me. Is it possible? How? See, this is a pen. I'm close to him. Right? How close I am? I'm close. It's over here. Okay. Is that pen is closer to me or not? It is. Oh gosh. You have been in big trouble. Please recite the salawat. So all of our life, we were praying and we were saying, Qurbatan ilallah. Are you joking or not? What are you doing? Allah is already near us. He said it. I'm very close to you. Alright, so then what's the problem? And then again, when you go closer to Allah, what does that mean? Alright, yeah. So, like for example, if I say I need to be closer to Seattle, I'm in Linwood. You have to move to go over there, right? Right? But this Allah is a makan?
No.
Allah is everywhere. How are we going to get closer? Okay, fine, I have to go
fine, fine, I want to go closer to him. Where should I go? North, east, south, west, up, down, where? Up. Recite a salawat for So, what's the secret here? What's the secret here? I'll give you an example. So that you can understand this Qurbatan ilallah things. Alright, let's see. See, sometime I do have a satellite receiver. You know, I'm not giving you an example of antenna. I don't know if anyone knows the antenna. These are like old days, right? You know antenna. We used to go on the roof to fix the antenna. So, we get the signals. But then these days, you have satellite receiver. You have satellite receiver and they have the satellite signals. Right? Satellite signals are there. Satellite receiver is here. Signal says, I'm close to you. نَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِمْ حَبْلُ الْوَرِيدِ I said, yeah. Satellite signals are all over near that satellite receiver. But the satellite receiver is not near signals. Why? It doesn't have attention toward it. There is no, this frequency is not set. You go say, Allahu Akbar, you set the frequency. You set the frequency of this device and the code is, like you say, sometimes you have to put the code is Allahu Akbar. The frequency set, the signal that satellite receiver connected with signals. See, now we understand what is this. What does this mean? That one side it says, نَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ The one thing, I am very close, and other places, come close to me. That's we understand. Let's do next. Please recite the salawat.
اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ
Now, the bigger question is still there. How are we going to get Abudiyat, how the Abudiyat is going to give us Rabubiyat? That was our actual question. These were the side questions. How this is going to happen? Here I give you an example. You have to understand this example so you can reach there. For example, there is the same way this receiver has to charge something. You have to connect with the signal. You have to put the right frequency, which we call attention towards that device, the source of charge, and then you put this device there. So it starts charging. Now this, see, how this force of attraction becomes strong? Because you are putting the food, the things which make it strong. Why the force of attraction become strong and got rule? Because it got that what's its need and become stronger and stronger and stronger. And then it's very strong and it's controlling the human soul and other forces. Now, we said we have to do something. This human soul is like this battery. You connect it with the signal, with the source. From the source, the thing is coming to charge this battery. When this battery or this get the full energy, it's becoming strong. It's getting power. Now force of attraction says, go sleep. He says, no, I'm powerful too. I will pray. And then it's keep continuously. It has like, now the other question was why we have to pray so many times. You have to connect with your resource 5 times a week, 5 times a day, every day a week. So you get energy. This becomes, because what's happened, you pray, after afternoon the energy release. You get that energy again from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This happened. This exactly that's how it happened. It's not just like an example. You actually get connection. Depend, I says huzur-e qalb, that's the meaning of huzur-e qalb. When you have a full attention over there, sometimes you have interfered, the signals are interfering, you're not getting the charge completely. You have to have a full attention if you have a huzur-e qalb, which means a full attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you start receiving energy in yourself and you're becoming strong and strong and strong. And now you're looking in the wrestling thing, you see force of attraction, now I'm strong. That's how namaz will prevent someone from fahsha wal munkar. That's how abudiyat will give us rabudiyat. You get continuously go through this, and then what you do, you get rabubiyat. This can bring the philosophy of dua, which inshallah I promise sometime again I will discuss that. What's the process of that dua? Why we have to recite alhamdulillah every day? What we are doing, if you pay attention, we are giving an IP address first, we go connect with the server, we announce, we are totally empty. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. I'm totally empty. I need totally your help. And it's the server is such that server, look at the workstation. This workstation has nothing, no hard drive, nothing. All the data need to come from here. And the flow starts. It says, what's your request? It says, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. I don't have anything, give me everything. It starts flowing. You know, sometimes when the battery fail, the defective, they give a wrong signal. Sometimes battery says, I'm half full. Actually, it's full. It's fully empty. That's why, that's the process of the battery gets defective. That sometimes battery by mistakenly say that I'm not fully uncharged. If this is I'm fully uncharged, the device will start charging it, right? Sometimes you know I'm 75%. And it's just like that charge in 25 minutes, 30 minutes, and then you realize that it discharged within 30 minutes. Now you say, battery is defective now. The human get defective if they say, I'm running. I don't need your help. I don't need Allah's help. Allah says, fine, whatever you ask, I will give you this much. Now he says, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. My battery is totally discharged. I'm totally dependent on you. The data start coming from there. It's filling up that, filling up, filling up, filling up. And now you're strong and strong and strong. Please recite the salawat. Please recite another salawat. And then even in Karbala, only the people who will arrive or go in Karbala, they are the one where human soul has rububiyat. They are the one, they are controlling their desires. They are the one, not anyone else. No other forces. No other forces. They are the one, they control the love, they want to control the fear, everything. And here, let's go to Karbala. We'll go and do Pursa to Imam Hussain, the thing which was very harsh of him, because he used to love his Jab a lot. He used to love Prophet Muhammad a lot. It's been said, one time, there was a Jew alim, he used to live in Jerusalem, he saw a dream, the Qiyamah has happened. They are all the prophets, and he said that all of the prophets, they are paying respect to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, who is this? Someone said, he is the last prophet. He says, when he came, he says he came in the desert of Arab. He looked at the Jamal of Prophet Muhammad, absorbed the whole beauty, and then he says, I'm going to travel here, the desert of Arab. He came to Medina, find out the Prophet Muhammad passed away. You know, is there anyone? Is there Allah? His son Hussein is alive. He came to Imam Hussein. He said, I came from long journey and I saw this kind of a dream. Imam Hussein said, wait a minute. Imam said, can someone bring Ali Akbar? They brought Ali Akbar. He says, do you remember the face? He says, yeah, I remember the Jamal. He says, was he, when he saw Ali Akbar, he was exactly like him. But I'm surprised. He was old. This is a young boy. Imam Hussein said, yes. He was my jab. And this young guy is my son, Ali Akbar. So Imam, Ali Akbar was very close to you. Sallallahu alayka ya Sayyidi wa Mawla ya Abdullah. صلى الله عليك يا ابن رسول الله يا ليتنا كنا معكم صادقي فنكون فوزا عظيما. When I want to see the Prophet, I look at you, my son Ali. For as long as you are alive, sweetness there in this world for me. Then slow down, Ali. Slow down, Ali. Don't rush to the battlefield, my dear Ali. As Imam approached the day of Ashura, Imam sometimes received dreams that were foretelling him his Shahada. In many of these dreams, he would see the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi. In some of them, he would see his mother, his father, and his brother. One time he woke up from the sleep and said, surely you just saw my grandfather, and my father Ali, and my mother Fatima, and my brother Hassan. They were all saying to me, oh Hussein, soon you'll be coming to us, oh Hussein. It was one of those dreams that he saw on his way to Karbala. Imam was mounted on his horse and Ali Akbar was with him. He paused for a while. Upon waking up, he was repeating, he was saying, Inna lillahi wa inna alayhi raji'un. Ali Akbar came forward and said, oh my father, what has made you to recite Inna lillah? Imam said, oh my dear son, sleep took over me. And I saw a rider come up to me from behind and said, these people are proceeding further while death is advancing toward them. I perceived the brother of our spirits informing us of our death. Ali bin Hussein said, oh father, may my Lord, may your Lord not bring forth evil. Are we not on the right path? Imam said, for sure we are on the right path.
Then Ali Akbar said, Father, if you're on the right path, no matter if we fell on the dead or the dead fell on us. That's what this young boy was. Ali Akbar is a youth who was eager to fight for the truth. A youth who did not so fear death. A youth who was eager to leave for the battlefield on the day of Ashura. The companion would not allow member of Hussein's family to fight until they all had been shaheed. When all of them got shaheed, then Ali Akbar came forward, "Oh Father, allow me to go." One time, one guy asked Imam Sadiq, he asked, "Imam, what's the blessing for a father?" Imam said, "A blessing for a father is when he sees his son become young and live in front of him. That's his blessing." The same guy asked, "Imam, what's the toughest time for a father?" Imam said, "The toughest time for a father is when his son gives life, his life in front of the father." Here Ali Akbar came, approached Imam. "Imam, give me izn, give me permission, I like to go." Imam said, "No, my son, I gave you permission." Summa nazara ilayhi. Then Imam looked at his prayer. A look of despair. The tears started flowing on his cheek. Ali Akbar said, "Father, you're giving me permission. Why are you crying?" Imam Hussain said, "Ali Akbar, I wish you had a son like you. And he may have asked permission from you for the battlefield. Then you can understand my feeling." Ali Akbar started moving towards battlefield. At one time he moved back, he saw his father is coming behind him. He came back, he said, Father, he says, "Son, I'll just come, I promise. Just when you're going towards that, please keep moving on the back side. So I see your face. I see your face." Ali Akbar came in the battlefield. He came. He proclaimed, "Ana Ali ibn al-Husayn ibn Ali. Nahnu wa baitullahi ula min nabi." "Oh people, please recognize me. I am Ali, son of Hussein bin Ali. We are the closer to the Prophet of Allah." Ali Akbar fought a fierce battle, killed many of the enemies. But one of the person, he was going after Ali Akbar. At this time Ali Akbar came back to Imam Hussein. He came, he says, "Ya Baba Al-Atash," he said, "Oh Father, thirst is killing me. The weight of the iron has taken away my strength. Is there a way to get a drink of water?" Imam said, "Oh my son, oh Ali Akbar, just wait for a few minutes. Pretty soon your jug will come with cup of water." Imam Ali Akbar turned. He gave him that bag. Then this enemy, he was pointing out to Ali Akbar. He threw the arrow towards Ali Akbar. Ali Akbar fell from the horse. And at that time Ali Akbar cried. Mahum Haq Sheikh Muhammad Jafar Shustari said, when Ali Akbar fell, there was three prizes in Karbala. One from Ali Akbar, he said, "Ya Abata, alaykum minni salam, please give my last salam."
بُنَيَّا قَتَلُوكَ, the third sound came from Zainab. She said, Ya Khiya, oh my brother, oh my nephew. Imam came to the body of Ali Akbar. He came, he held his head, he put his cheek on the cheek of him, Ali Akbar. Imam is fainting. Yes, Zainab saw. She knew that he was not going to afford. She ran. Ya Akhi! Allah lahnatullah ya al-qawm al-zalimin wa sayalamu al-lazina zalamu ayya min talibin yan talibin ma'dan al-Husayn.